The last time we were together, we looked at this passage where Jesus challenged his people. And he did because a lawyer asked him a question. But the lawyer asked him a question to test him. And lawyers still do that, I think. But a lawyer, he was an interpreter of the Bible, or so-called. And at that time, there were religious rulers and interpreters, and they told you you couldn't read the Bible for yourself. You couldn't understand it for yourself. Some people still say that today, but we can. You can understand it for yourself. God has given us his word so we all can understand it, and we can learn from it. But this guy asked him a question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he did it to test him, not because he said, I really want to know the truth. He was just wanting to get in a religious argument, and he wanted to win. They were against Jesus. They were looking for some way to attack Jesus. And he said to them, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? And they answered and said, he knew what the Bible said. Even though some people may know what the Bible says, that doesn't mean they do what the Bible says, right? And I mean, I'm guilty of that sometimes, I have to say. I don't always do what the Bible says. I wish I did. I'm not perfect. I don't think anybody here is. If you are, you're the first one. I mean, except for Jesus. We're all sinners, and we've all come short. But this guy figured that he had it down pat. He figured, I've got it down. I know I'm doing everything just right. And so when the challenge came, when he said, okay, here's the answer, what is written in the law, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus' answer was, yep, that's, you're right. That is a summary of the law. We looked at that last week. That was a summary of the law. You're to love God, and you're to love others. But it isn't a casual, flippant love, is it? It's a full, wholehearted devotion to God and a full, wholehearted devotion to other people. Now, if you find people that don't love people and they say they love God, is there something wrong with that? Yes. Absolutely, friends. Because if you don't love people, then you really don't love God. But when you truly love God and you let God's love flow into your heart, then you must love others. You're compelled to it. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the love of Christ compels me. I'm compelled to love. That's God's heart. That's God's passion. So when we look at this passage and we see what the answer was, Jesus said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. That's what he said to him. Okay, do it and you'll live. But the truth of the matter is, who has loved God perfectly? Have you? I haven't. And who has loved others perfectly? Have you? I haven't. That's why we needed a Savior. That's why Jesus came. He came to save us from where we have fallen short. And that's a beautiful thing. That's good news. That's what that is. Not bad news. That Christ came to redeem us, to save us from our sins. And in the process of doing that, as he came to save us, he came to transform us so that we could be a people who love God and a people who love others. Not just our family, not just our neighbors that are close to us. Because here's what, when Jesus said this to him, the lawyer figures, well, the loving God part, I think I've got that down. I mean, he was wrong. But the discussion often that the Jews would have about this was, who is really my neighbor? Because they knew that it was the call of God to love God and love your neighbor. But they had come to the conclusion, well, if you're not a Jew, you're not my neighbor. Okay, that's where they were. That's where they had come to at the time. That was their general interpretation. If you were a Gentile, I didn't have to love you. And if you were a Samaritan, and Samaritans would have been half Jew and half Gentile, and they lived next door to the Jews, nope, don't have to love them either. So when he asked this question, he wanted to justify himself and said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? It was a loaded question. He wanted Jesus to give an answer on that one. Who is my neighbor? Because he wanted to be justified. He wanted to justify himself. Listen, what we want to generally do is justify ourselves. We want to make ourselves look good. We want to make ourselves sound good. We want to make ourselves look like we're the cat's meow. And that's where this guy was at. And often that's what we're like too. Justifying ourselves doesn't work, friends. Let God do the justifying. God can justify us by giving us his son, Jesus Christ, and by us accepting it. That's all our justification is from Jesus Christ. It's not from us. So, Jesus said he had an answer. It was this. He said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And so he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. And Jesus said, so which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, you go and you do likewise. You go and do the same. So when we look at this passage of Scripture, we see how Jesus answered this man who asked the question, who is my neighbor? And what he proceeded to do was to give a little story. And he did that often, didn't he? He told stories to help people to understand truths, important truths. So he starts with a Samaritan. Actually, he starts with a certain man who went down from Jerusalem, and he fell among thieves. This was a common thing. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho was a dangerous road, and often thieves were in the woods, in the bushes, and they would come out, and they would rob you and strip you and do whatever they needed to do to get everything that you had, and this poor man was left wounded. They even took the clothes off him, and they left him half dead. Here was this man in this horrible situation. And in that desperate situation, a priest comes down the road. Now, the priest would have been coming from Jerusalem, which means he would have been practicing at the temple, doing his spiritual duties at the temple. And that means when he was coming down the road, he wouldn't have been walking. He would have been very wealthy. He would have been riding on whatever implements he would have, a donkey or horse or a wagon or a cart. And when he sees the man in the ditch, lying naked, half dead, it says he what? He passed by on the other side. This is a sad testimony that sometimes even the religious people can be the most hardest people, the most unloving people. He had prestige, he had power, he had wealth, he had supposedly, and they prided themselves in how much religion they had. But sadly, he had no heart. He was not fulfilling love God and love your neighbor. He passed by on the other side. So the question that was asked here, that the lawyer asked, is a good question. It's a question I want to leave with you today is, who's my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Now, Jesus was teaching them something, and it was radical. You have to understand, it was radical for them because they had become so insulated and isolated themselves that nobody was their neighbor but their own. And Jesus was trying to break that mold for them. He wanted to educate them in a good way, and he wants to educate us in a good way, because it's easy for us to become prejudiced, isn't it? It's easy for us to become isolated in that way. And as this man comes along, he had nothing to do with that man over there. He didn't want to touch him. As a matter of fact, he made sure he went over on the other side of the road so that he would not get near that destitute, broken person by the side of the road. He didn't want to get involved. So, the next guy was a Levite. Now, a Levite wasn't a priest, but he would have been of the house of Aaron, which meant he had a position. He had a kind of a special position too. He would have been like the helpers to the priests. So he had some prestige too. And normally when the Levites and the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, when they talked among themselves, they talked about how good they were, how careful they were to keep every bit of the law, how diligent they were about everything, how full of religion they were, and they were proud of themselves. And Jesus, the reason I say this is that Jesus actually told them that's what they were. So here they come with this situation, and here's another guy, and what does he do? When he arrived at that place, what did he do? What does it say? What did he do? Before he passed by on the other side, what did he do? He came and looked. He actually came over, and he had a look at the guy. Imagine. He went and he had a good look at him, and then what did he do? Then he passed by on the other side. You know, there's two kinds of looks, isn't there? There's a look of pity sometimes that we can have on people that really has no compassion in it at all. We might say, oh, I pity that person over there. But would you dare to get involved in their life? Would you step into the mess of people's lives? Would you be willing to get down in a ditch and pull people out of messy situations? Is that what God's calling us to be like? Is he calling us to love people that much? Is he calling us to love broken people? Is he calling us to move in areas and do everything that we could to touch people where they hurt? To really care? Or is it just easy enough not to get involved? And I've got my own little life. I've got my own little wife. I've got my own little thing. And I'm going to do my own thing and carry on. He passed by on the other side. I want to challenge all of us. Who's your neighbor? And I want to challenge us to love people the way God loves people. The reason why I can say that with safety is we're going to see how Jesus reacted to somebody alongside of the road in a few minutes. But here's the third person, a certain Samaritan. Now here, this is a group of Jews that he's talking to, and he says, a certain Samaritan. And I'm telling you, when he said that, you would hear a pin drop. You could hear a pin drop in that place. Because when he said that, it was like, oh, a Samaritan. Here's what they thought about Samaritans. Here's what they accused Jesus of. Look what it says here. In John 8:48, when the Jews didn't like the way Jesus was talking to them, they were getting angry at him because he was telling them who he really was. The Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you're a Samaritan and you have a demon? Does that tell you what they thought of Samaritans? That's what they thought of them. So Jesus, in the story here, says a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Here was the people that they were supposed to be despising. He was the one that came. And what did it say? When he saw him, he had compassion on him. He stopped. He didn't just stop and look. The other guy never stopped, okay? He just passed by on the other side. The next person, he stopped. And he actually looked, right? That still didn't mean anything, did it? Stopping and looking didn't count. But this man, where he saw where he was, he stopped and he had compassion on him. And he went to him and he bandaged his wounds and he poured oil and wine. That was the medicine that they could have, just to put oil and wine on the healing of the wounds. The alcohol would help with the wounds healing. And he set him on his own animal, put him up on his animal, which means he walked, and he brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. Could he have done more? Could he have done more? No. He did everything that he could. He gave himself completely for the help of that broken person alongside of the road.
Yeah.
Yes?
I'm assuming that the broken person that was laying on the road, he wasn't a believer, right? I mean, he was just a person laying there, heard him.
Well, the question about that is he might even be hard-pressed to know whether he was a Samaritan or a Jew. Yeah. The man was naked. Usually you could tell there were Samaritans by the way they dressed or by the way they spoke. This guy couldn't talk, right? And he had no clothes. So it was very difficult to find out who he was. And, of course, Joe, it's a good point. You're not going to say, well, you know, if somebody says alongside the road, well, do you belong to my religion? Well, if you don't, I'm going on the other side. Well, you belong to my race? Oh, you're not one of mine.
Yeah,
go back
the
on the other side.
The Jews would help their own. Yeah. And the guy that went around and looked at him and then walked away, you probably discerned that he wasn't Jewish.
Oh, we don't know that. It doesn't tell. He says a certain man. As a matter of fact, when he starts with a certain man, not saying that he was a Samaritan, it would be assumed that he was Jewish. It would be assumed that he was actually Jewish. And even here, they weren't even helping their own if he was. We don't know which way that went because the Samaritan came along and it didn't matter. It didn't matter who the guy was. And it was very likely he was a Jew because when Jesus said a certain man and he's speaking to the Jews, they would have assumed, oh, he's talking about one of us. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was the Samaritan that came to help, right? It wasn't the Samaritan in the ditch. the Samaritan that came, and he was willing to pick this man up and do everything that he could for him, no matter who he was. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Oh, friends, that's the way it's got to be. It doesn't matter who we are. Listen, who is your neighbor? Tell, can you get the answer?
Everyone.
Everyone is your neighbor. Everyone is your neighbor.
In my mind, I'm thinking that the guy in the ditch reminds me of all the people that are fleeing right now. Syria, you know what I'm saying?
In some ways, that's very true.
That I get in my mind. Yeah. The other ones in the ditch, even though they're not Christian, they're Muslims.
Yeah.
They're still hurting and suffering, and they're our neighbor, just like the guy in the ditch was.
That's absolutely true. Everybody is your neighbor. And we ought to be willing to help anybody, anywhere. Help people close to home. Help people far away. We ought to be willing to help anybody who is in need as much as we can. This man did everything that he could. And he went even the extra mile, didn't he? He brought him to an inn. He took care of him. And what does he do? The next day, it says when he departed, he takes out 2 denarii, which is 2 days' wages. Right? He takes 2 days' wages and he gives them to the innkeeper and says to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I'll repay you. He says, I am looking after this guy until he's better. I am not just throwing a dog a bone here. I am going to give him everything that he needs to be able to go forward. That's the kind of heart that God's called Christians to have. And that would have been a shocker for these guys. And as you can see, Jesus was speaking. It was obvious that this was the conduct and the heart of those who were the most religious were the ones who were the hardest and the coldest. May God keep us from that. Oh, keep my heart, Lord. Let me have a heart of compassion and love for people. And let me continue to have it. And not just to give a little, but to give my heart away to others and to help others, no matter who they are, no matter where they live. Let us be a people who reach out, because everybody's your neighbor. And, I've known that, we took a little offering there for people and who were landing on the shores in Greece. And I posted the amount because it was people in the community that gave it. And people were protesting and saying, well, why don't we go help our own? Why don't we help our own? And we do help our own. And we find ways to help our own. And I think of Scott and Marguerite. Every week he takes food up and he goes to 5 or 6 different families in Inverness and gives food. They take up an offering to do that very thing, to help people. And we ought to be doing that. And I wrote back, we are. I said, most people who protest about helping people far away are not people who are helping people anywhere. And that's often the truth. Praise the Lord that we have the opportunities, and we ought to be quick and ready to give ourselves away to others and to love other people. Now, the Lord Jesus, we find him doing something here. And here's a little story about the Lord and how he helped somebody. In Mark 10:46, now they came to Jericho. This is the road to Jericho again. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, there was a man named blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And now you have to understand that in those days, again, they thought if you had wealth and if you had power, then you were more important than people who were poor. And if you were blind, it's because you done something wrong. And that's why you're blind, and God's judging you, and really, I'm not going to try and help you very much, because you're under God's judgment, which is false teaching, but that's the way people often felt. So when this Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside begging, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Here's what happens. Here's the crowd. Look what the crowd said. Many warned him to be what?
Quiet.
To be quiet. But what did he do? He cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Here's a guy sitting by the roadside. He's blind. That means he's poor. There was no social services, no EI, no welfare, no nothing. You begged for a living or you starved to death. And he heard that Jesus was coming, and Jesus was somebody who had healed blind people. He heard about that. This was the last time. Jesus was heading for the cross here, by the way. This was the last time he was going to go by Jericho. And this man said, this is my chance. This is my chance to get better. This is my chance because Jesus can do something for me. Nobody else has ever been able to do anything for me, but this guy can. And so he begins to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. But the crowd shut up. Hold your peace. They didn't want him to say anything. They didn't think that Jesus would bother with that man by the roadside. The crowd had their mind made up. He was not worth for Jesus to stop for. He was not worth it. So they told him, shut up, be quiet. And these were guys who were what? Who were they following? Jesus. They were following Jesus, but they were telling that man to shut up. Something wrong there, isn't it? But what does Jesus do? So Jesus stood still, and he commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. I find this a very fickle crowd, right? 1 minute they're telling him to shut up, and then when Jesus starts to pay attention, come on. So we can be hypocrites so easily, can't we? We can go with the crowd so easily. And so, throwing aside his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, which means teacher, master, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. The Lord touched him. The Lord healed him. The Lord blessed him. He didn't leave him abandoned on the side of the road. And friends, we ought not to leave anyone abandoned by the side of the road. But listen, let me tell you something. Let's look at this from a spiritual picture. Every one of us have been beaten up. Every one of us have been damaged. Every one of us have been hurt by the world, by sin, and by the devil. We've all experienced pains and scars. And every one of us need healing. Every one of us need forgiveness. Every one of us need the touch of Jesus Christ. And he is passing by. And he is willing to stop for anybody who calls out to him. And he's willing to come to us. And he'll go the extra mile. He did go the extra mile. He went the extra mile because he left heaven. He looked at our earth and he saw the brokenness in the human heart. And he left heaven to come here. And he left heaven to come alongside of us and to be one of us and to be born in that stable, in a manger. And he grew up and he was a man who was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He knew what it was to be persecuted and tried and tested in every way. And finally, as he began to preach the truth and tell people about the love of God, and yes, expose people's sins for what it was, but at the same time, reaching out and touching the brokenhearted and healing those who were broken and in need, they crucified him and they put him to death. But it was all for a purpose, because even though they were doing that to him, he was allowing himself to be punished in your place and mine. He went to the cross to pay for your sins. How far did that Samaritan go to help others? He went as far as he could, didn't he? He went as far as he could. He did everything that could be done to make sure that man was provided for. How far has Jesus gone to provide for you? He went as far as he could. He went all the way to the cross. And he suffered for your sins. He's risen from the dead. And he invites us to come just simply by faith and accept him as your Savior. That's not complicated. You know, you could join 20 churches. That would not make you a Christian. What makes a person a Christian is by joining yourself to Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to encourage. That's what I want to encourage people to do. Come to Jesus. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive him as your Savior. And as you do, he comes into our hearts, and he will go far for you. He'll go a long, long ways for you. He has already done that. He went to the cross. But he'll continually, the Bible says, he's standing at the right hand of the Father, and he ever lives to make intercession for you, to look after you, to be there on your behalf. Oh, God loves people. God loves people so much that he gave his Son to be crucified in your place, to take all the punishment of God so that you could have a sure home in heaven and you could have peace in your heart as you walk through this broken world, and that you could pour yourself out into the lives of others and bring blessing to them. God loves people. God loves you. I praise the Lord for that love, and I praise God that that is the heart of God. We see that in the book of Romans, for here's what it says, for when we were still without strength, like being in a ditch, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So much more than having been now justified. Remember, we saw the lawyer said he wanted to justify himself. Now we are justified by his blood, that is his death. The blood represents that his blood was poured out for us. We shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, Much more, having been reconciled, that is, peace being made, we will be saved by his life. That's what Jesus has come to do. That's the Good Samaritan, as it were, is our Lord Jesus Christ, who has done everything that he could do to save every single one of us. I thank God for that. So here's the heart of God. The heart of God is a heart of love and compassion to come and to rescue us and to clean us up and to do whatever he needs to do in our lives to make things better, to bring us to heaven. Here's the heart that we're supposed to have. Exact same heart. A heart that does what? Matthew 5:44, I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Wow. Is that what goes on in the world in general? I don't think so. May it go on in our hearts. That's supernatural, friends. That's not normal. I need God for that. I need the Spirit of God to work in my heart so that I will be the one who'll stop by the roadside and be willing to help anybody and to love anybody. Love your enemies. Do good to those. Who's my neighbor? Everyone is my neighbor. May God give us grace to see how Jesus really is and to see how he's really calling you and I to live. It's a wonderful life, friends. A life full of hate and bitterness. I have talked with people and met with them and heard their stories. And some people, man, it's awful. I remember talking to an old man. He was over 80 years old. I'll be 84 years old. And a guy had gypped him of $10,000 20 years ago. That guy was dead. Now, $10,000 was a lot of money then, because I'm going back 20 years now, right? But he had gypped him of $10,000. And I was talking to him about how he could have the Lord in his heart. And all he could talk about was that man who had cheated him out of $10,000. He was full of hatred for that man. And he couldn't talk about anything else. It consumed his life. And the guy was long dead. The money was long spent. But it consumed his life. He had lost love because he had allowed bitterness and hatred to come into his heart. When God turns around and says, I want you to love your enemies. That's crazy, but that's the call of God. I trust that the Lord will cause you to live the way he lives. But you need Jesus for that. Receive him into your own heart. Ask him to be your Savior. Let him take over your life. And as you do, God will give you grace to begin to love, and love so far as to love your enemies. Praise the Lord. God's good.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a thing going on in Europe where they're saying that the refugees, you know, a lot of the Muslims are creating havoc.
Yeah.
But in spite of all that, you know, our command is to love those who persecute us and hate us.
Yeah.
And do wrong to
That's
us.
That's true.
We love them.
Yeah.
And you know, the Bible says love overcomes a multitude of sins. You know?
Yeah.
And
it's true.
So, you know, this was a good study for me today. You know?
It's good. Now, I'm not saying that governments don't have to take actions at times, and sometimes those actions will involve military, and I'm not saying any of that. There are government legal decisions that need to be made, and I'm not dissing that. I'm not making that a small thing. But I'm saying personally, we as individuals are to love. And my challenge is for us to live that way, because that's the heart of God. That's his heart. Praise the Lord.